This morning, as we talk about our series, It's the Least I Can Do. You guys are really catching on. Somebody brought something to me the other day to give me a snack to eat. It was a very small snack, and they said, "Here you go, Pastor. I thought you might be hungry. It's the least that I can do." So it's definitely catching on. And I said, "Well, greater things are on their way." So I went to McDonald's and got a Big Mac and won some free French fries. Well, it's great to have you guys here this morning. Somebody handed me, I said, "It's the t-shirt day. Have a nice day." It's definitely the t-shirt day. Isn't it funny how God works things out? Well, as I went to bed last night about 3:30 a.m., I said, "God, I'd really like to get up and be able to speak in the morning. I'd like to have a voice." And he said, "No, not a problem." So I went to bed at 3:30, and I woke up and I thought, "Wow, I must have slept a couple hours," and it was 3:40. And then I went back to sleep at about 4:30, and I said, "Lord, I'd sure like to really do this." And I woke up at 4:40 again, and it's just great. I woke up this morning and I thought, "Have a nice day." I went to Tim Hortons and I got me a little drink here. I don't normally do that. And the gal at the thing, she said, "Have a nice day." And I said, "You have a nice day." And I'm not sure she really has any impact whether I'll have a nice day, but I'll tell you, Tim Hortons can get you started. And so it did. And I don't normally do that, but today was a Tim Horton day. And I don't get any royalties for saying that. You remember the old t-shirt? In the 80s, someone made millions of dollars. They put two dots on a yellow shirt with a big smile. And on it, they came up with, their marketing was ingenious. They must have spent months coming up with this. "Have a nice day." You remember those? And they were everywhere, these yellow shirts. "Have a nice day." But I'm not sure those words really have quite the impact that you hope they have. I'm not sure it makes a difference. And someone walked up to me in second service and said, "Pastor, I've got a shirt for you." And it says, "Loser." Wait a minute. They're going, "Oh, no. Yeah, this is the kind of stuff I get in the morning. Thanks, Lord. Have a nice day." It says, "Loser. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it." They said, "Thought you might appreciate that." So, for the person who gave it to me, have a nice day. Words. Words have a huge impact on us. When that gal at Tim Horton said to me, "Have a nice day," I could just think of walking in and out of Walmart, someone standing there at the front door, "Have a nice day, have a nice day." And I'm not sure that's going to have a huge impact, but it's the least they can do. But to really have an impact, you need to understand that words have power. You agree? Words, amen, they have power. I mean, words can really move a person. Words can make you happy. I got a card, a birthday card this year, and honestly, I'm 47 years old. My mom and dad send it to me, and I keep it in my car. I take it out every so often, and I read it. I love that card. Honestly, in 47 years of my life, it's the best card I've ever gotten in my life. I open it up, and it talked about just being a son that they loved. And as I read that, it made me feel so good. And I keep that card. I thought, that's the best card, honestly, I've ever gotten. Words have power, and it made me feel good. When you see someone say, "You look good today, brother. You honestly, you really look good." That makes you feel good. You like to have someone say that to you. "You look good." "No, I really mean it." Words have power. They can make you happy. Words can make you laugh. A good joke can make a person laugh. Could change their day. A good story. Words have power. Words can make you cry. I don't know if you've ever had someone say something to you that made you feel so good or feel so sad, but words have power to make you cry. In fact, this week, I had an opportunity to, my son was on a mission, and we weren't going to hear from him for a while in Afghanistan, and he says, "I'm going to be gone for a while." And 2 days ago, he called on my computer. He Skyped us, and there he was. And I got to talk to him for 2.5 hours. Words have power. It was so good to see him face to face. And we were talking. In fact, when he came online, it was interesting because he came online. He's sitting there in his full military garb in his train car, I guess I call it, that they land down there, and they put two guys in there, and that's his barrack. and he and his roommate, and he had a little lawn chair, and he's sitting in his full fatigues, and he's got his little 9mm sidearm there, and he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, right away in the conversation, he jumps up, and he pulls his 9mm, and he cocks it, and I said, "What's going on?" He says, "There's a mouse." That's why when they were home, we never had cats or mice around our house. But we do have a high mudding and drywall expense. And I thought, really? Is that how you take care of your mice? What are you doing over there? And he laughed. He sat back down, and we had a great time talking for the whole family for 2.5 hours. Words have power. Have a nice day. Well, I was having a great day. To talk to my son and all the family did, and we just laughed and we talked, and we talked about everything. When it was all done, I looked at him, and the camera wasn't working at first on our end. I don't know that stuff. I had to call my 10-year-old to come in and fix it. And she came in, or whoever did, they fixed it. And I came in there at the end after everybody had talked, and we were talking, and I said, "I have to go now. I have to get to a meeting. It's so good talking to you." Words can move you. They have power. You can laugh. You can cry. As we did, as we were saying goodbye, I kind of looked into the camera, and I reached up, and I hugged the computer. And I said, "I love you." And he got up, and he hugged his computer. And 10,000 miles apart. Words had power. And then I blew him a kiss, and he blew me a kiss, and we said goodbye. So powerful. Words have power. Have a nice day. Words, they can make you angry. I was driving down the street right out of Bible college in my first church in Birmingham, big city. And I drove out of, I was driving home, and there was a car in front of me, and I got angry at the bumper sticker. And words can actually make you angry. I was so angry. I said, "God, what are we going to do about this?" And he said nothing. But I was angry. And you can get angry. The Bible says you can get angry. I get angry. It says don't sin in your anger. So I wasn't going to sin. But I thought, I read his bumper sticker and it said, "I would rather rule in hell than serve in heaven." Yeah, I was angry. See, words have power. I'm sitting there at the stoplight going, "What are we going to do about this?" And God didn't say anything, so I took matters into my own hands. Not a good idea. He took off. I said, "God, you haven't answered my prayer yet." I was waiting for God to answer my prayer, so I didn't want to lose him. So I followed him. And he went down the road a ways. And I went down the road a ways. He turned, and I turned, and God still hadn't answered my prayer. What are we going to do about this? This is wrong. If this guy understood what hell was like, and if you could just let him see it for 2 seconds of his life and weeping and gnashing of teeth in utter darkness and forever, never, ever to have a chance to change all of eternity. If that's true, we got to do something about this. And God didn't answer my prayer. And so I took matters into my own hands. I stayed behind him. And somewhere along the line, he noticed a car following him on his bumper. Me. I didn't know what to do. I was waiting for God to answer. I was sure God was going to answer and tell me some great revelation to witness to him. God didn't. And so after about 2 miles, he notices I'm there, and he starts speeding up to lose me, which caused me to speed up to stay on his bumper. I don't know what I was going to do. I finally broke it off and turned around and thought, I don't know what am I going to do, knock his bumper off? Well, that'll tell him how God loves him. Those words stirred something in me. Words have power. They really do. Let me say this morning. Here it is. Words have power. Godly words have godly power. I think it's important for us to understand this today. When someone says to you, "Have a nice day," can I tell you, it is the least they can do. It's wonderful. But those are our words, and they can move people. But God's words can change people. See, godly words have godly power, and that's what we learn here in John. Look at what the Word says in John 1:1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God. Now that Word is the Greek logos, the Word of God. In the beginning was God's Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There was the spoken Word, there's the written Word, the living Word, and there's the written Word. See, in the beginning, this is great. In the beginning, Genesis says, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. Isn't that awesome? God said, let there be light. Maybe you don't understand how awesome that is. When God spoke words, those words had power. When God spoke words, stars came out of His mouth. You're not with me yet. When God spoke words, supernovas that burn at over 100,000 degrees that have a gravitational pull so great that every piece of metal on planet Earth can be sucked into it the size of a golf ball that sits in the universe and burns for a billion years came out of His mouth. When that happened, all of the constellations, the stars in the universe that go on forever and forever and forever came out of His mouth. That same God, the spoken Word, became the living Word in Jesus Christ. That power went into a little baby in a manger, and He grew up just like these boys. And went through everything you were. And He had the same power. And the One who spoke and planets and stars came out of His mouth became the living Word. And He looked at the wind and the waves and said, no problem, calmness. And they obeyed and everyone, who said that? He looked at a man who was possessed by demons and He says, demons, come on out. And they obeyed Him. He looked at a little girl, Tabitha, who was dead on her bed. Her heart had stopped pumping blood. She was no longer alive. And He said, honey, get up. Tabitha, rise. And she rose up from her bed. And it says everyone was amazed because the spoken Word had become the living Word, the Logos. And He's with us today. You see, you have words. Have a nice day. Christian, you have godly words. Have a godly day. You see, the words that you speak ought to be the written Word. And you have the same power in your life to see things change. Christians, let me invite you into the greatest epic adventure of your life. People, let me invite you to saturate yourself into the most powerful thing. I don't understand how we have this power. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. We have that in our lives. And when someone says, have a nice day, you say, you better believe I'm going to have a nice day because I have the spoken Word as my Heavenly Father, I have the living Word as my Savior, and I have the written Word. And the Bible says, look at this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Look what the Scripture says in your Bible. It says, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. It's alive. See, when I say have a nice day, that might have an impact, but when God speaks and I use His Word, my day becomes from something to greater. Greater things, Jesus said, will you do if you have faith than you've seen me do. Words have power. When you say, I love you, that has power. When you say, I hate, or you are, that has power. And the Bible says the Word of God is living, it's pulsating, it's alive. When you memorize the Word, when you meditate on the Word, when you read the Word, you know that you are having that same thing happen in you that was happening in Christ Jesus. When Jesus Christ came to this place, there was something that happened that theologians called the hypostatic union. There, my college paid for itself. The hypostatic union said 100% God became 100% man, and the two met. Heaven and earth came together in Jesus Christ. 100%. And all of the power of heaven and earth stood in one man. And that same Christ says to you and I, if you have faith, what you've seen me do, even greater things will you do in your life. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to walk into greater things. John says, and the Word became flesh. Do you know that God wants to become flesh? He wants that power living in us that the world may know that Christ is alive. The one, and I don't understand this, because scientists, I'm sorry, let me not say that. I love scientists, I love science. Bad scientists have no clue how this all happened. When God spoke and the universe came to be, scientists says, well, we know how it happened. We know that there was this huge, gigantic explosion. I say, no. Good science says this. There was this huge, gigantic Jehovah God who spoke, and they came right out of his mouth. Well, that's just bad science. No. What's bad science is this huge explosion. When you want to tell me there's no awesome God and no power in the universe, well, it just happened by random. That's not science. Well, how did it happen? Well, there was this Big Bang. That's not science. Well, all of this matter that just existed all came together. That's not science. It's against the first law of thermodynamics. Energy is neither created nor destroyed. So that's not good science. And it all came together into a supernova. It drew itself with what's called so much gravity that it sucked all the energy of the universe, which is impossible because the second law of thermodynamics says that energy is it falls into randomness. Everything's decaying, the law of entropy. That's bad science. And it exploded into a gigantic, cosmic, awesome, chaotic craziness. That's not science. And all of a sudden became more defined than a Timex watch and began in a universe becoming perfectly ordered out of a big bomb. Never seen a big bomb make order. And today, I awoke this morning, I said, no, here's good science. Ex nihil, out of nothing came something, because energy cannot be created nor destroyed. Therefore, I believe in an eternal God that was and is and forever will be. That's good science. He spoke, universes existed, and Job says, and the foundations of the universe are set on the pillars of God. Meaning, I woke up this morning, and the sun came up where it was yesterday. And we aren't 1 degree closer to it or 1 degree further from it. There's a perfect law and a perfect universe from a perfect God. And last night when I walked out of Judgment House, I looked up into that awesome sky, and there was the Big Dipper where it was the night before. And the stars and the starry host, the Bible says, are held in the palm of my God. That's good science. You see, God is a scientist. He's a painter. He's an author. His canvas is incredible. There's a watch. There's a watchmaker. There's a creation. There's a creator. And when I walk in this and I say, there's power. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I think, have a nice day. There's power. See, there's power in words. There's godly power in godly words. And when we get a hold of that, you can have a nice day. And thus the shirt. And I'll close the service this way. I got this shirt a long, long time ago. I went to Colorado Springs as a youth pastor to a youth pastor's convention. Never been there before. Maybe some of you have been in the beautiful Rocky Mountains before. It was gorgeous. 350,000 people living wrapped around the mountains. Never been there. So we're there at the Sheridan Convention Center, and one day we have a day off, all these youth pastors, and my roommate from another state, he says, hey, we're all going whitewater rafting. They're paying for us to go. Do you want to go? Normally, I'd have been all over a whitewater rafting trip in Colorado. For some reason, in my spirit, I just felt like I was supposed to stay. I thought, you know what? I'm going to stay here and do some devotion. I'm just going to read the Bible, just kick back for a while. I'm just going to take some me time with God. Have a nice day. And they left. He's thinking, you're crazy. We get to go whitewatering. And I'm thinking, I'm going to miss out. Oh, well, have a nice day. See, when God, when you understand you're God, He wants to do things in our life not to have a nice day. He wants us to have a godly day. See, having a nice day is the least we can do. Having a godly day is greater things. So I went down to the concierge, a nice young lady there, and I said, excuse me, ma'am, I took a study break, and I just thought, I'm going to go do something. I'm going to get something to eat. It's early in the morning, mid-morning. I said, I'm going to go do something. Ma'am, is there a golf course anywhere around here? And she said, well, there's one. It's so-and-so and such-and-such. It's about 5 miles away. And I said, okay. She goes, you'll need to take a taxi there. It's a country club. And I said, well, I'm from out of town. Maybe they'll let me on the course. I don't know. Maybe I can get there if I can even find it. I went outside. I thought, I'm going to get a taxi. And then I thought, you know what? No, I'm just going to do something a little different. I put my thumb out. A van pulls up. Says, you need a ride? Really? No, I was just standing here. Here's your sign. I said, yeah, I'd like a... I said, do you know where this golf course is? And she said, I think so. And this van full of a few people picked me up, and they took me through the city. I have no idea where I was at. They dropped me off, and sure enough, there's a golf course. So I walked up, and I said, excuse me, I'm from out of town. I was wondering if I could golf here. And they said, sure. You're from out of town. We let people come from out of town to golf on our country club. That would be great. I said, I have no clubs. They said, not a problem. You'll be our guest. We've got some clubs for you. Have a nice day. I said, I'm going to have a great day. I'm in Colorado, the mountains, the backdrop, and a golf course. I'm having a great day. I don't care if I even hit the ball. This is a great day. I get out there. I start golfing by myself behind this couple that's in front of me, and I'm catching up every so often. We start backing up more and more. About the fifth or sixth hole, they said, hey, why don't you join us? And so we get to talking. They said it's slow anyway, and so we sit for a while, and then we golf. We sit for a while, and then we golf. We go a couple of holes, and I'm catching up on their story as they're talking to each other. And she's talking about how she's not going to be into work this weekend at his nightclub, where it's actually a strip joint that he owns, and she's one of the strippers. And then I'm discovering that she even does more than strip on the side. And so they're going on, and we're talking, and at one hole he says, hey, why don't you try out this club, mister? And I'm like, okay. And so he gives me his big Bertha driver, and I hit it. I thought, wow, that's great. Just off into the distance with the beautiful mountains and dropping down into the valley onto this fairway. Okay, into the woods. Anyway, we get near the end of it as we're talking, and the question comes up. So you're from Michigan. What do you do for a living? And I said, well, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pastor at a church. Their eyes get big. They look at each other. And I could see them replaying in their mind their entire conversation the whole time of getting stoned, stripping, this, that, and the other. And they're just kind of going, oh. After the initial shock, they looked at me and they said this. Really? I said, really? They go, but you didn't judge us. I said, for what? Well, because we've never met a Christian who hasn't. I said, well, God loves you the same way He loves me. Why would I judge you? You'd be welcome in my church any day of the week. What? I said, sure. I'm just like you, except that I just ask God to forgive me, and I try to love Him with all my heart. He loves you too. Wow. Thank you. We got done golfing, and they said, have a nice day. And I said, have a nice life. And God was doing something, you see, because when God does something, it's not a nice day, it's a godly day. I got done and I thought, what am I going to do? I've got some time left to kill, so I started walking. I didn't know where I was, so then I jumped on a bus. I don't know where the bus was going, but it was only a couple of quarters. And I thought, for any guy out there looking for directions, I thought that was the next best thing. You get on a bus, it's got to go somewhere. It took me into a business area that was kind of shady, but there were a lot of stores, so I got out. And an old rundown mall. And as I got out, I started walking, and I noticed a big sign that said, indoor paintball. And I thought, God, you are so good. And I walked in. I thought, this place is incredible. So I went in, had a great time, talked to the owner, told him, and just had a great time. Came out of there, and right next door was one of the largest warehouses for a Christian wholesaler I've ever seen, a Christian bookstore. I walked in, and I've never seen a shirt like this, hand-stitched, and I saw it on the shelf, and it was a gazillion dollars. And I looked at it, and I went, oh, I've never seen anything like that. There's no other ones there. And since then, 18 years, I've never found one since. I don't even know who made it. It was just there.
And I said, oh, I'd love to have that. I looked at the price tag. I said, there's no way. And then I saw on top, it said 50% off. I said, well, that's a little bit better, but my wife would kill me if I do that. So I went up to the counter. I said, that's a neat shirt. Where do you get that? Is there a way to? And she said, are you a pastor? I said, yes. Yeah. She goes, well, we'll give you another 30% off of that. I said, I'm buying the shirt. So I bought the shirt, and I've had it ever since. I walked out of there with the shirt, walked out of there with the paintball information, all that stuff, had a great day of golf. I thought, I got to get back. The sun is setting. I don't know where I'm at. I need to get back to the hotel. So I looked, and there was a bus pulling up to a bus stop. I ran up there as quick as I could, and the guy said, it's a good thing you made it. We're the last bus of the night. I said, where are you going? They go, where do you need to go? I said, the Sheraton on something, something Circle Drive. And they go, oh, we don't go near there. But this is the last bus. And I thought, well, I need to go somewhere, so I'm going to get on the bus. And they said, I'm not going to pay for a cab. That would just be ridiculous. So I got on. I went to get on the bus, and the bus driver said, hey, don't worry about it. I'll tell you what. I'm going to get within 3 blocks of this other bus route of a buddy of mine that's got his last route, and that'll take you within 2 blocks of where you need to go. And I'll just tell him to stop his bus and wait for us. I said, really? Yeah. And I said, God, thank you. Have a nice day. So I got on the bus, and as I'm sitting on the bus, I noticed it's full of a lot of people who are very underprivileged and a lot of children sitting there. And as they're sitting there, I start doing some of my dumb pastor's magic tricks. As I'm doing this with straws and pencils through my nose, out my ear, and blah, blah. Kids are going, do another one. Pretty soon we have a party going on the bus. And all these kids are up there now with me, and we're just having a great time. I'm getting to know them. We're high-fiving. I said, I got to get out now. And the guy goes, you better run because they're waiting there. They've been waiting for 15 minutes, and they're not happy. And so as I left the bus, everybody's saying, goodbye, thanks for coming. No, don't get off the bus. The kids are like, don't get off the bus. Do another trick. Stick another pencil up your nose. And they said, have a nice day. And I thought, no, have a godly day. Because words have power, but godly words have godly power. And the word became flesh, because God's power needs to be seen in His love in this world. And when the word becomes flesh, it changes lives. I got off that bus. I ran to the next bus that had been waiting for 15 minutes. I got on. I didn't talk to anybody, and nobody told me, have a nice day. I got off that bus as quick as I could, and I got back to the hotel. I got back to my room, and pretty soon my roommate came back with all the others, and I said, how was your day? And he said, horrible. I said, what happened? He says, the river was dry. We carried the raft most of the way. He said, how was your day? I said, you're not going to believe what I've done today. He said, really? After I told him, he says, let's do something. Can I hang out with you tonight? I said, sure. I said, what do you want to do? He goes, let's go to a theater. Let's go to a movie. I said, okay. So we went down. We had no ride. I didn't want to spend money on taxi. I thought, why not, God? It's already been a nice day. So I went down, and in the lobby, there were some Air Force guys down there, and they were talking about going to a movie. And I said, hey, guys, can we hitch a ride with you? And they said, no problem. We went to the movie. When the movie was over, they said, you guys want to hang out for the night? We're going to go get a few drinks. I said, well, I don't drink, but I'd love to hang out with you. We spent till 1 in the morning hanging out. I'm in the back seat of the car sharing Jesus Christ with a car full of soldiers. And when we got done, they dropped me off. They said, you know what? We've never partied with a pastor. That was incredible. Thanks for sharing. And we changed numbers. I shared Christ with them. And they said to me when I dropped them off, have a nice night. And I said, guys, have a great life. Thanks for serving our country. Now that was a day. That was a day that I'll never forget. I'll never forget it because people in this world are in the storms of their life. They're in fear. They don't know what to... The family, the finances, they don't know what's going to happen. And last night, hundreds of people, some wet themselves. Some swore like I have not heard swearing since our last church potluck. My daughter, who's 10 years old, said, she was in one of the rooms. She said, Daddy, why are people so vile? I said, honey, they're scared. They're not scared of little girls. They're not scared of clowns. They're looking for a word. No. They're looking for the word. The Logos. They're looking. And as they went through this place, scared to death, holding on to each other, they come to the last room where they're being just screaming in torment. And the reaper says, there's no way out. This is it forever. There's some people who live this way. There's no way out of this life. This is life. When we're dead, it's done. And an angel comes in. And I asked my angel, I said, what was it like when you saw the people's faces? And she said, as they're standing in the middle of that room in darkness and I shine my light on, they all go, oh, thank you. And she says, he's a liar. He's the father of lies. There's one way out. Follow me. They come in and there's Jesus on the cross. There's the Word stripped in all of His glory. So that you can have a nice day. He had a bad day. So you could have a nice day. And the earthquake. And He says, Father, forgive them. It's finished. And the tomb opens and there's Christ. And the angel says, that's your way out. Through Jesus. We had people literally fall on their knees. And pray right there. You see, they came to get judged. And we told them they were free. People are just looking for a good word. I know the best word of all. Words have power. Godly words have godly power. I invite you to live in greater things. And the Word became flesh. And then, it was given to you. And this has power. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. We are more than conquerors. Greater is He that is in me. If God is for me, who can be against me? I am what it says I am. I'm a child of God. To those who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. I have what it says I have. I have eternal life. I have riches and glory. I have the power of the Holy Spirit. I have prayer power that's never ending. I have access to prayer right now at this very minute. I can stop and be with my Father in heaven. Who planets come out of His mouth when He talks? He can handle my life. I can do what it says I can do. I can walk with Him. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess it. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I just received the Word of God. And it is indestructible. And it is ever living. And it is unchangeable. And I will never be the same because of Jesus' name. It's not just a pledge we do. It is my life that I want to live. I invite you to that life through the Word of God. Let's stand and pray.